Brendan King, Esquire, in studio with us. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing?
Excellent. Good to see you again, man.
Yeah, thanks. Good to see you, too.
Yeah, you're out of Worcester. It's the location of your offices, but you're a guy from around here, right?
Well, actually, I'm a Worcester native. Born in...
That's around here.
Yeah, that's around here, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Very parochial around here. I got to tell you, since I've come here to WESO, I find that everybody kind of very proud of their towns and don't see much reason to go into Vexen.
They don't move very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, if it says anything, I went to public schools all the way through, and then I went all the way across the other side of the city to Holy Cross.
So, man.
Yeah, that was, you know, a big trip for
me. I were listening to Jim Tobin, a realtor I had on before you, and we got to that. I told him, man, I'm not a Worcester native. I grew up in Natick. Everybody knows this, and I moved out to Lake Quinsigamond several years ago and have stayed in Worcester since. And what I found is when I did move to Worcester, and is talk to people and you say, Worcester, it's not enough. You got to say, what neighborhood?
That's right.
So if you go from Worcester, they go, no, I mean, where are you from?
That's right.
Worcester. No, where? You got to say, Burncoat, Tatnick, Grafton Hill. You know,
exactly.
You need to say where in Worcester because that's a whole nother image, I guess.
In fact, when you asked me, I was going to say Newton Square.
Yeah. So, exactly. It rolls out.
Yeah.
So they do that in Boston, too.
Yeah,
because I lived
in
Boston for several years. Yeah. And, you know, where do you live? You instantly, you know, South End, Southie, you know, West Side, whatever. Answered.
What's big in Worcester, too, is what high school you went to.
Where'd
you go? Burncoat, South, North, you know.
That
for me, it was Doherty,
Doherty, So that it's just, you know, way things are, right?
That's it.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Yeah. Well, even in Natick, right? The little town
of
Natick, which has gotten a lot bigger from when I grew up.
Sure.
In it. But even in Natick, we had Natick and then we had South Natick. Even though there wasn't officially a South Natick, it wasn't like a different zip code or anything.
That's
same
right.
zip code. But everybody from South Natick hit South Natick.
Oh, yeah.
That
was
supposed to be.
And Natick didn't hang out with South
Natick. Oh, yeah. It was like South Natick were the Wellesley wannabes.
Right.
That's
they
wanted to live in Dover, Sherman, and
in
Wellesley, so they lived in South Natick.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's a little personality with every neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, I lived really close to the Wellesley line, and it's funny, in dealing initially, my first real estate days were Natick Premium, obviously.
Sure.
And it was tough to break the Wellesley market. Those brokers didn't want to deal with anybody other than Wellesley brokers.
Yeah.
But how many people that I dealt with that wanted to just get over the line so the zip code was Wellesley's zip code.
That's right. Maybe even a post office box.
I have 200 square feet in Wellesley in my backyard, you know. let me know what that tax bill is for that 200 feet.
Was it worth it?
All right, Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices, as we said, in Worcester. You're right there on Elm Street, which I think we talked about last time you were here, because it's you're right near the park.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, which is nice.
The swans over there.
And ducks and everything. Yeah, you can take a loaf of bread over at lunch hour.
Yep.
But, you know, we're right. It is a nice location because it really is the street that kind of it goes between the two commercial areas. You know, you got Park Ave on one end and you've got Main Street at the other. So, you know, in between, we've got parking, which is, you know, as we know, Worcester people and Worcester County people don't like to pay for it.
No. You know? No, absolutely. Yeah. That was the demise of the Galleria.
That's right.
You know what I'm
That's
saying?
That's right.
Why am I going to pay for parking downtown when I can go to Auburn Mall, Greendale Mall?
That's right.
And Solomon Paul Mall came into the scene.
Yeah. That's right.
So I worked in the Galleria, 20 years plus ago because it was a radio station.
Sure.
There were two stations.
Oh, okay.
But there
I didn't
was
know
a
that.
Radio
yeah.
station. And I became the news director of a station, and we had this big glass wall, Brendan.
Oh, yeah.
In the Galleria. So the newsroom was three walls of glass walls exposed to the walkway. So you're in the newsroom working, and people are walking. Little kids are up there with their face pressed against the glass watching you do the news and stuff.
Right,
So I worked in a radio station in the Galleria, and this is, I said, it's got to be in the 80s.
Isn't that kind of like the Today Show when they have people walking by and you just hope no one does anything obscene when you're on the air?
Well, fortunately, it was radio, but I had my back to it.
Oh, that's good.
So I was watching the on-air guy when I was doing air, so I couldn't see what they were doing behind me.
Yeah.
But you knew they were watching.
Yeah,
you're trying to type and you're trying to, you know. So I didn't know if that was the greatest thing in the world. I think I would have done, if I was the guy owner, I would have done a little different where – I made what you could see more show, you know, more of a stage for the on-air guy
yeah.
than putting the newsroom out there.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're keeping an eye on you, making sure you're doing your job, yeah. right?
Because, you know, in radio newsrooms, if you haven't been in one, I mean, there's papers everywhere,
oh, yeah.
newspapers yeah. everywhere. Back yeah. then, we used to have, you know, the AP, you know, printing off
yeah.
reams
yeah.
of paper.
Right.
Right. That would be politically incorrect today.
You probably couldn't really have many confidential news sources if everyone's walking yeah. by. And say
exactly. We're going to go back to the cloaked room in the back.
That's right. That's right.
Secret entrance or something. Yeah. All right. Estate Preservation Law Office is in Worcester on Elm Street. And the phone number at the offices in Worcester that they can reach you at, Brendan?
It's 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, check in with Carl Bean, see what's happening in the world of sports here in the Money Matters Morning Edition. Are the odds against you or someone you care about facing an upcoming civil or criminal court battle, being wrongly accused, harassed, or victimized? See what the privilege of having strong evidence and information can bring to providing the victory that belongs to you or a loved one. Put the power of our investigative agency behind you. For more information, call for a free consultation. Clandestine Investigative Services, 1-877-HIRE-PI2, 877-447-3742, or on the web at cisandassociates.com. Clandestine Investigative Services, toll-free 877-447-3742. Clandestine Investigative Services is a licensed and bonded Massachusetts private detective agency. Available 24/7 at 877-447-3742. This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Time now for a look at sports.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carl Bean. This is the Money Matters Morning Edition, brought to you by Howlett Lumber, with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton and East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. Red Sox got a nice win, beating the Twins 3-2. Big Poppy, a two-run homer in the fourth off starter and loser Scott Baker. Bill Hall drove in an insurance run in the sixth, but the story was Clay Buchholz going 8-plus strong innings. Minnesota never did figure him out. He was at his best by far.
Oh, yeah, this season, yeah. You know, it seemed every inning I went back out, a pitch came, and I got good feel for it and was able to throw it for strikes. You know, I've done that maybe once this year, so it was good to have control, command of four pitches.
Same two teams finish up the quick homestand tonight. In other Red Sox news, shortstop Marco Scutaro has an elbow problem that has required cortisone shots. It's in his left arm. That's the non-throwing arm. So they need a shortstop. So Scott Schoenweis has been designated for assignment. He's a pitcher. And shortstop Angel Sanchez is up from Pawtucket. By the way, Josh Beckett back on the DL with the back problem. So Tim Wakefield will fill in the next start scheduled for Beckett. Yankees got throttled by the Blue Jays, and the Sellers are getting ready for their Saturday night encounter with the Magic in Boston. This has been the Money Matters Morning Edition, brought to you by Howlett Lumber, with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton and East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. I'm Carl Bean.
Bottles of wine, rare and fine, and inexpensive too. Cases of beer, strange or weird, classic, local, or new. Spirits galore from ceiling to floor, at prices you'd find at the outlets. We have three locations in Massachusetts. Stop by a Yankee Spirit.
Yankee Spirits, exit 3B off I-84, exit 9 off Mass Pike, Route 20 in Sturbridge.
The Spirit 970 Restaurant Guide welcomes you to Central Massachusetts South at the crossroads of New England. Are you looking for good food and good times? You'll find both at some of the best restaurants anywhere, right here. So go out and enjoy. TT's Town Line Family Restaurant and Jacob's Pizzeria, 29 Main Street in Webster. Have a $1.99 breakfast, two eggs, home fries, toast, and free coffee with your meal from 6 to 8 a.m. Or try the spaghetti and meatballs all you can eat all week long for $5.99.
Zorba's Pizzeria and Tavern, 132 Sturbridge Road, Route 20 in Charlton, is proud to serve their customers some of the tastiest dishes this side of the Greek Isles. They have a senior menu available Monday through Wednesday, including soup, salad, and entree, coffee or tea. There's an all-you-can-eat Greek roasted chicken on Thursday with ziti sauce, roasted potatoes, or fries and coleslaw. Zorba's Pizzeria and Tavern, the best in Mediterranean cuisine. Go relax on their outdoor garden fish patio.
Tired of having to leave work to go spend a small fortune at one of those high-end coffee shops? Well, Wise Coffee Services can make it so your business has fresh coffee available all the time. They will come by your office and deliver everything you need so your business can start having fresh gourmet coffee every day. Without the hassle of leaving the office or draining your wallet, contact Wise Coffee Services at 1-800-52-TASTE. That's 800-52-TASTE. That's Wise Coffee Services, the wise choice when it comes to great coffee.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour here in the Money Matters Morning Edition. 55 degrees now outside of our Southbridge studio, so we're inching up here. We're looking to reach the lower 80s with sunny skies. Brendan King in studio with us. Estate Preservation Law Office is out of Worcester on Elm Street. So real easy to get to because Elm Street's one of those streets that, you know what I'm saying there. It's easy to get to opposed to, like Worcester's a tough place. Like,
yeah.
There's no, like you can't get anywhere on a major road. First of all, they put the pike, you know, 20 miles, 15 miles south of the city,
right.
Whatever it is,
right.
8 miles, I don't know what it
right.
is. I mean, that's been corrected a little bit with the 146 extension. But you hop off the highway, and it's very small, narrow roads.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not
right.
a big, like,
yeah. It's kind of, you know, a lot of New England cities are like that. It's funny. It's very windy. You don't have that nice grid that you see in New York where you kind of know where you are based on what letter or number you're at, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the age.
Yeah.
They were founded so long ago.
That's right.
The concept of highways and in automobiles and stuff didn't exist. But although they did it in New York, they gridded it out.
Yeah. I don't know how they did that. You know, I think it's...
Boston, you know, if you know Boston, because it goes alphabetically.
Right.
Arlington, Berkeley,
that's right.
Clarendon, Dartmouth,
that's right.
Exeter.
Which helps.
Alphabetically, it gives you a little
bit. You know, if they ever stop doing construction there, that might actually be useful.
You can only have 26 streets, first
right.
of all.
Right, right, right.
Right.
Exactly. Then you have to look for double A names, like Aardvark.
Yeah.
You know?
Aaron
right,
Way or
right.
something, yeah. So, but you know, of course, a lot of people. It's funny. I talk to some younger people who don't realize that Back Bay in Boston is literally a back bay.
Oh yeah,
water, and it was filled in off the the hills of the Blue Hills.
I don't know if I even knew that. Yeah.
Oh really? In the 1880s, it was probably the largest.
It's a freshwater
civil project. No, it was ocean.
Oh, really?
The ocean came in.
Okay.
And that's how it was a crescent.
Yeah.
And Boston's kind of built like a crescent. And in the 1880s, they took the top of the Blue Hills and trucked it in and dumped it into the ocean, filling in the Back Bay.
Oh, interesting.
And it was the only project of its kind in the history of the country that paid for itself, unlike the Big Dig.
That's not done paid for?
And we're still paying for that.
Yeah.
But what they did is, see, as they dumped the and filled it in, they sold that lot, those lots off to the wealthy people who lived up on Beacon Hill.
Okay.
So when you have Marlborough Street. And,
sure.
Clarendon, and it's Marlborough and the other one, Commonwealth Ave.
Okay,
the,
that goes straight out.
That goes straight down. And if you drive down there now, Brendan, you see those, most of them are colleges now, right?
That's
but
right.
they were all mansions at one point.
Oh, interesting.
In single family homes.
Yeah.
That the wealthiest of the wealthy
moved
on into the Back Bay and bought up the lots to build those mansions.
Yeah.
Therefore paying for the project.
You know, I don't know
if
I've
ever thought of it. It's a self-funding project.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's
funny.
And
you had the Pratts and the Lowells,
Cabots,
and all these families, which we know because of Lowell and Tings.
That's right.
Tingsboro.
Sure.
These are the families that and they brought in the railways and trucked up to Lowell for the mill towns. And that's, history of Boston.
It's funny. You can, you know, they used to be able to pay for projects, and now here we are hundreds of years later, and we can't do it.
Yeah. But it was a unique situation. They took at the top of the Blue Hills, and that is the soil that's in the Back Bay. That's where it came from.
Interesting.
And that's how they filled it in.
So, I just thought they liked the alliteration of the name, Back Bay.
No. When you drive down Commonwealth Ave, and you're in the Back Bay, Marlborough Street, and you're driving on what used to be ocean.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Did not know that.
That's
makes
it,
sense, though.
There it is.
Back Bay.
There's your history lesson for today on Money Matters Tomorrow. Yeah. We'll talk about, you know the name of the Indian on our seal?
No.
Winnicunnet.
Huh,
that's
there
the
you
name
go.
Of the Indian, you know, the Indian.
History
the
major over here.
No, it just absorbs all kinds of useless knowledge over the years, Brendan.
Got Alec Trebek here.
All right, for 3 points now. Let's talk a little bit about these are facts and these are stories. And what's interesting, a lot of times, Brendan, I've taken the duck tour and the trolley tour.
Yeah.
And, you know, they give the little history as they go through, and so often those tour guides are so wrong.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And it must be fun to actually, and I wonder sometimes like they do it on purpose.
Up.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, and whoever's with me is pumped, you know. So shut up, don't correct them, don't correct them.
And this is the home of Herbie Hancock.
But talking about let's talk about some of the myths that exist, and not necessarily the historical myths, but the myths in estate planning and asset protection and things that as we get older we have those. You know, there's that three stage there, right?
Sure.
The accumulation, preservation, and then distribution. And there are some myths are surrounding here. The people here. Don't you love it, right? I heard my neighbor said, and my neighbor did, and you know, people love to take advice from strangers, and they take it as gold.
That's right. Everyone listens to their Uncle Louie or whatever, and you know what? They'll come in with that, and they'll debate me on it. Well, you said this, but my Uncle Louie said this.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay, well, maybe you should go do what Uncle Louie said.
I hate to bust your bubble, but Uncle Louie was wrong.
Right. And that's just it. It's like, well, he got away with it, and it's almost like, well, you know, just because the situation didn't come up to expose the reason that it didn't work, or maybe Uncle Louie didn't convey.
Uncle Louie didn't want to admit that he screwed up.
That's right. That's right. And that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest thing.
You know, he's not going to tell you that he lost half the estate to the nursing home because he didn't do the right thing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because a lot of people think that they can shift money around, even shift ownership.
That's right.
Add. You know, kids to accounts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I look at my personal experience, and I've lost both parents at this point in my life, and my father first, and everything, you know, mom had everything, and then, but they were pretty good at having, they did a great job at, putting all the property in trust and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Exceeding the look back period, which is 5 years.
That's right. That's right.
For now. Today,
that's right. Today, anyway.
Last
year
checked this morning.
That's
anyway.
Right.
You never know. Right?
That's right. That was the latest I came over on the wire. Yeah. 5 years.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the myths that you encounter all the time.
You know, you brought up a great one, and you'd mentioned putting kids' names on, you know, bank accounts, a CD or a money market or something like that, and clients will say all the time, well, you know, I've already done all that. I've already done my planning. I've put my kids on the accounts, and it's protected, and that's just simply not so, you know, and you'd also mentioned the nursing home, and that's the biggest creditor we see is the nursing home. We do a lot of asset protection, but the biggest creditor is the nursing home, particularly when someone gets to a certain age. I mean, as I think I even mentioned last time was, you know, not everyone leaves a sponge in somebody. Mm-hmm. Not everyone puts in a faulty foundation. But when you get to a certain age, it's a pretty good chance that you might be heading into the nursing home. So be that as the biggest creditor and looking at asset protection from that point of view, adding your children to your account with your name still on it is not doing any asset protection. In fact, it's only, we were talking about it at the break, it's only exposing it. It's only exposing
you're
it.
You're sucking them in.
That's
to
right.
Your assets.
That's right.
And the child, then the child has to turn around if they wanted to separate it. Don't they have to prove, well, I put 20%, 80%, and you know they can't.
And good luck.
They never did.
That's right. That's right. And divorce, which is up to what you probably know better than me, 60%. Yeah. I mean, who knows where that is. And you've got bankruptcies at an all-time high, you know, children declaring bankruptcy. And, you know, now you got to go ahead and prove that that's, you know, not their money, but it was your money. And again, who keeps records of that stuff? And a lot of people have had kids on their accounts for a long time. Yeah. And that's just the stuff that the kids can't avoid. Because then you have the kids who then go in and help themselves to the money.
Absolutely.
You know, and if they're on the account, you know, good luck proving that they didn't have the right and that was some sort of crime to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, if they were on the account, they're a joint owner.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, there are better ways to do it. You mentioned the word trust, and that is the way to do that.
Yeah. All right, we can talk more after the break for news and so forth, talk more about trusts and which ones, because they're revocable, irrevocable, and how they can be played, because they're not the end-all and be-all, but they are powerful, too.
Oh, there, sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I look, you know, my mother fought pancreatic cancer, and, you know, she had actually set up an account in my with my sister on it for the sole purpose of purchasing certain landmark gifts for nieces and nephews she knew she wouldn't be here for.
Right.
For the graduations and
yeah.
so forth. That
yeah.
still is sitting there, and as each of our nieces and nephews hit that, you know, hit that landmark in their life, that's where that account's to be tapped for. So
yeah.
she was able to, you know, kind of leave this legacy of what she did for the first few grandchildren. All the others that were alive at the time of her death are getting the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you can really do whatever you want and,
yeah.
And detail it
yeah.
just like that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Awesome. All right. 20 and a half minutes after the hour here in the Money Matters Morning Edition. Hey, 55 degrees outside of our Southbridge studios, and we're going to climb to, well, the low 80s today with sunny skies. Plan accordingly. Hey, put the roof down. You know, top down if you drive it today, right? All right. Money Matters Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Marty from Books and Beans and Honesttown Postal and Print.
Hey, isn't that Marty?
As I was saying, I'm Marty from Books and Beans and Honesttown Postal and Print, 100 Central Street in Southbridge.
Hey, Marty!
Hey, this is Marty. I was hoping to tell you what we do.
Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Stop in. I'll buy you a coffee and show you what we do here.
Hi, Marty!
And look for our ad in the Southbridge Evening News.
Yo, my main man, Marty!
Drop on by Books and Beans, 100 Central Street, Southbridge for your morning, afternoon, or anytime caffeine fix. Books and Beans and Honesttown Postal and Print is a division of the Center of Hope.
The logo shop does it all, for business, for sports teams, for organizations, for church groups. The Logo Shop is the one place that does it all. The pros at the Logo Shop will guarantee quality work, and it's on time and it's on budget. Tom and John are always ready to sit with you and discuss your needs to make sure it's exactly what you want. Top quality embroidery and screen printing. The Logo Shop, 125 Mossy Street, Southbridge. Call them, 508-764-3100. Ancient wood-fired brick oven pizza, and it's at Enrico's. If you've been to Enrico's, you know how good it really is. Today's the day for Enrico's wood-fired brick oven pizza. Delicious. And that's not all. Enrico's has a full menu, incredibly yummy treats. Sit at the bar or in the dining room, 500 Main Street, Sturbridge, and your friends and neighbors will probably be there too. It's just that good. When are you going to Enrico's with full liquor and famous for authentic wood-fired brick oven pizza and then some? Route 20, 500 Main Street, Sturbridge.
Hi, this is Lenny Clark. You're listening to Money Matters with Joe Mangiacati, my good buddy. I don't have any money, so it doesn't matter. But Joe does. Keep listening. It's Money Matters.
It's half past the hour. Now the news on the Money Matters Radio Network, WESO 970 AM.
Good morning. I'm Joe Mangiacati, Money Matters Morning Edition. Let's take a look at headlines. Well, in Worcester, a man facing a murder charge in Superior Court can have the $4,100 seized during the investigation. Five juveniles charged in the March 27th beating of a homeless man. They were arraigned yesterday in Worcester Juvenile Court. And Worcester and Auburn police arrested Michael Dunkerley, 22, of Paxton yesterday. Now, he was wanted in the alleged assault against an Auburn police officer on Saturday. After being stopped in Southbridge Street, he allegedly sped away, dragging the officer who stopped him for a short distance. The officer suffered bruises and abrasions. State officials said yesterday a judge has granted the State Department of Children and Families custody of the brother and sister of 23-month-old Everett Nielsen Benenda. Now, that's the toddler who fell out of the third-floor window on Friday night and did succumb to brain injuries over the weekend. Sturbridge, the state supervisor of public records, has upheld the town's decision not to disclose the names of three candidates picked in the first of town administrative finalists back in August. Brendan McNeil, 22, of Framingham, was sentenced in two state prison yesterday after pleading guilty to charges stemming from a fatal crash in Southborough in 2008. The crash occurred during a high-speed chase that began in Ashland after a marijuana deal had gone bad. University of Massachusetts medical school officials and civic leaders are expected to close a deal this week on an official residence that will make Chancellor Michael Collins a city resident. And while City Manager Michael O'Brien has committed to coming back to the table in about 3 weeks with a deal to address issues associated with CSX's biggest obstacle, that would be finding a new roadway connection from Shrewsbury Street to Franklin Street, whether or not that can be achieved. And the Worcester Art Museum is offering free admission to active duty military personnel and their families from Memorial Day through Labor Day. Let's take a look at lottery numbers. Daily number drawn, 7781. Evening number drawn, 3830. In the Powerball game, 27, 29, 55, 58, 27. Mega player there, 3. Mega bucks, 2, 5, 17, 19, 29, and 46. In the Mega Millions game, 11, 13, 19, 37, 40, and 26. I'm Joe Mangiacati, and this is Money Matters Morning Edition.
Let the fun begin. Summer starts now. Thompson International Speedway is proud to present two value-packed holiday attractions. This week on Thursday, May 27th, big-time NASCAR racing starts at Thompson International Speedway. NASCAR Modifieds plus six feature divisions for just $18 for adults and $5 for juniors, ages 6 to 14. Bring the whole family. It's Thursday night NASCAR value. Don't forget Memorial Weekend's favorite show, The Eve of Destruction. A night of thrills and spills. It's the only time this year for Family Fun Night. Sunday, May 30th. World-class fireworks. Works, the School Bus Demolition Derby, full-size and compact car demolition derbies, Monster Truck Mania, Burnouts and Jet Cars, Trailer Trash 7, and a midway full of fun. It's the best family show ever, Sunday, May 30th, only at Thompson International Speedway. Family priced, $18 for adults and $10 for juniors ages 6 to 14. Coming June 3rd, Town Fair Tire, Tour Type Modified Shootout, just $20 for adult general admission. For more info, go to the web at thompsonspeedway.com. Thompson Speedway, exit 99 off of I-395 in Thompson, Connecticut.
Good morning, Joe Mangiacati, Money Matters Morning Edition, Thursday, May 20th. Let's take a look at the weather. Today, mostly sunny, much warmer, highs in the low 80s. And tonight, some clouds move in overnight, but lows will be in the 50s, and tomorrow will be sunny, highs in the upper 70s, clear skies overnight on Friday night with temperatures dropping to the upper 40s. Saturday, sunny, highs in the 70s. Saturday night and Sunday, some clouds move in, lows in the lower 50s, highs in the mid 70s. I'm Joe Mangiacati, and this is Money Matters Morning Edition.
Craving comfort foods like homemade meatloaf, Canadian meat pie, soups, and chowder? Then come to Fidel's Coffee Shop and Restaurant, 13 Central Street, Southbridge. Open 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy breakfast all day, every day. Fidel's is now open for dinner, Thursdays and Fridays from 4 to 8 p.m. On Thursdays, choose any two dinners from the specialty menu for just $11.99. Get hooked on fresh fish every Friday. Fidel's, where friends go to meet their friends.
Good morning, I'm Joe Mangiacati. This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Today is Thursday, May 20th, 2010. Let's take a look at the financial indexes at the close of the business day yesterday. Dow ended up down 66 points, closing at 10,444. NASDAQ 2298. S&P 1115 10-year bond 3.359. Oil up 20 cents over the $70 mark again, $70.05 a barrel. Gold stopped trading at $1,192.60. Gasoline prices are staying stable in the Boston area. Today, 284. Yesterday, 284. 1 week ago, 288. 1 month ago, 278. And 1 year ago, 1 gallon of regular gasoline in the Boston area, $2.32. Let's take a look at the markets as they open around the world.
In Asia, overnight, the Nikkei down 1.5%. The Hang Seng down 0.2%. The FTSE in London up 0.7%. Paris is up 0.6%. And Frankfurt up 0.2%. The yen at 91.24, sterling at $1.43.71, and the euro at $1.23.97.
Thirty-six and a half minutes after the hour here in the Money Matters Morning Edition. Joe Mangiacati, AM 970 WESO. 56 degrees outside of our Southbridge studios, 56 in Sturbridge, 57 in Worcester. Sunny skies today, high highs in the lower 80s. It's going to be a warm, sunny day. In studio with us, Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices, located in Worcester on Elm Street, that is. So easy to get to and also easy to reach. The phone number over there is simple.
508-751-5010, 508-751-5010.
And, of course, on the World Wide Web, Brendan?
www.estatepreservationlaw.com, www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
Right, now, the thing is, we were talking just before the break that a lot of myths in how to protect your assets, and especially the biggest creditor to be worried about is usually the nursing home.
That's right.
And now those laws always, you know, that change. There's some laws, you know, something with the, you know, you get the homestead, and
yeah,
if the spouse is
one.
Still living in it. So share some of that, because then we're going to talk about the trust.
Yeah, that's probably the second biggest myth that I hear when someone will come to me and say, well, you know, I'm all set. My house is protected, Brendan. And I would say, well, that's great. What did you do? And they said, well, we put a homestead on it. And that's, while a homestead's a good thing to have on your primary residence, and maybe I should back up and just explain what that is. Homestead is a declaration you make on your primary residence that protects up to $500,000 of equity in the house. So whatever equity you have in the house would be protected, and you have to be proactive in Massachusetts and actually file it at the Registry of Deeds, unlike some states, which is automatic. Here you have to be proactive and record it. Good thing to have on your primary residence, but the one creditor that it doesn't count for that many people face is the nursing home, and won't do anything for that. So if you think that your home is protected by filing a homestead from the nursing home, you may want to talk to me about that, because that's just not the case. So what you know, we had talked about just before break was, well, what do you do to protect? And you had mentioned the word, Joe, trust. And that's typically how people protect their houses.
All right, let's talk about the trust, because a realty trust is what we're talking about, correct?
Yeah, it would be a house for the real estate, yeah. And we can use realty trust to fund the trust, but the actual protection behind it would be a type of irrevocable trust, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the different... We hear those terms,
yeah,
revocable, irrevocable. They're almost self-explanatory.
That's right.
I mean, it kind of are.
Yeah.
And what are the benefits of irrevocable versus the revocable? And what are the cans and can'ts?
That's right. Well, generally speaking, the irrevocable trust, as the name suggests, is that you can't change it, you can't amend it, and when you put something in there, you typically can't take it back for yourself, typically. I mean, you certainly can structure anything you want, but for asset protection purposes, that's the point, and that would be the pro of this type of planning. When you put your house into an irrevocable type trust, the idea is to protect it from the nursing home or, you know, maybe some other creditors, but generally speaking, the nursing home, and the idea is that you can't get it back. And that's rule, you know, that's 101 asset protection.
So do you technically lose ownership of the house when you do that?
Well, you don't own it in your own name. However, you can own it as trustee of the trust. So you could take title with yourself as trustee. You just can't be the, what we call the principal beneficiary of the trust. Mm-hmm. And that is so that it is protected, because again, if you can get it, they can get it. That's what it really boils down to for creditor protection, is if you can get it, anyone who steps in your shoes as someone that is trying to get assets of yours, they can step in your shoes. If you could have gotten it, they can get it back from themselves. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to put it beyond your reach, not necessarily beyond your control, which is why they can be the trustee.
Now, there's trustees and then there's beneficiaries.
Correct.
And the beneficiaries are actually the ones that will benefit from, say, the sale.
That's right.
So the money goes to them, not the trustee, per se. Can the trustee be the beneficiary as well?
The trustee can be, depending on the trust, but in these irrevocable trusts, following along this chain here on the irrevocable trust, typically the person who sets it up, the grantor, is not the beneficiary of the trust. Okay, they might be the trustee, but they won't be the beneficiary, and just for the reason of, we don't want them to have any rights to it, so that... Because, again, if they have the rights to it, the nursing home would have the rights to it. So generally, at the end of the day, they can be a beneficiary, and sometimes we have them be what's called the income beneficiary. So in other words, if they were to put $100 into the trust, that $100 would be the principal. If that $100 makes $10 of interest and dividends, they can take the 10, but they can't ever touch the 100.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
All right. So can you use that kind of a trust for a situation of, say, a multifamily as an income piece of property?
Perfect. Perfect example.
So
yeah.
That's where they can derive the income, but they can't ever touch the principal.
You got it. That's a perfect example. And quite often what people will do, particularly living where we do in the Worcester County area, plenty of three-deckers. Yeah.
Three-decker capital of the world.
That's right.
Invented
that's
right here.
That's right. I grew up in one for a good part of my life.
Which floor?
I was actually on the first and the third.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Missed the second.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like you moved.
It's a family three-decker.
Okay.
Yeah. So originally we were up on the third floor. And then as my parents had more kids, we needed more room. Because as you know, the slanted ceilings on the third floor, you know, you need more space. So we moved down to the first.
I grew up in a cape without a dormer.
Oh, yeah.
So
there you go.
I will never have a cape as an adult.
Tough to put posters up, too, on those things, you know?
And limited the arrangement of furniture, seriously. That's right. But you had those crawl spaces, which are great because you could enter and crawl in the crawl space hidden all the way to the other side and pop up over there.
Great for hide-and-go-seek. Yeah, they really were.
But, yeah, I hated the tilted, you know, especially once you start to get, you know, 12, 13, and you're growing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Only,
I have five brothers.
In the middle of the room.
Oh, yeah. I have five brothers. We're all, you know, 6'2 and above. Yeah. And so we're all, you know, hunched over all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's it makes a big difference to get down to that first floor. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, so many of those three-deckers, as we call them, did the condo conversions, you know, and the booms.
Right.
And they became condos. And
that's
they condominized them, right? And then they're, you know, so why sell this for $130,000 or $140,000 when I can sell every unit for $110,000 if I, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It. But the thing about it is what's interesting when I look at the, because I do a real estate show and watch it, is the condo numbers for Worcester are pretty tough.
Yeah.
And I really think that if you backed out all the condos that are actually originally three families,
right,
you know, a unit on a three family,
yeah,
it would be a healthy market. Because if you had, if you're going to spend $150,000, are you going to do it for and buy the third floor of an old three-decker, or are you going to buy a condo that was built as a condo?
That's right.
You know, sliders to a patio
and
made as a condominium, right?
Right.
See, that's the thing. So Worcester gets skewed
on
those condos numbers, I think, you know, when we look at it.
I think so, too. I mean, I think you're exactly right if you're going to spend that kind of money. And I think that's part of the reason why you see a lot of these guys get stuck now.
Mm-hmm.
I know part of it was the market, but a lot of them are coming into our office now because we do a lot of asset protection, saying, what can I do? You know, I was going to condo this, and I got kind of caught in the bubble here. And a lot of them are in trouble now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. All right, 44 and a half minutes after the hour here in the Money Matters Morning Edition. All right, we are 57 degrees now outside of our Southridge. We're cranking up there. We're on our way to 80, guys. Plan accordingly. Let's check in with Carl Bean on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Playa del Carmen welcomes you to their authentic Mexican restaurant right here at 179 Main Street, Route 131, Sturbridge. Playa del Carmen is best known for their Mexican recipes and their renowned margaritas. Come in for lunch, dinner, or just a few drinks at their fully stocked bar. Playa del Carmen is an affordable family restaurant and cantina, specializing in the most important thing, customer satisfaction. Sundays are special with Kids Clown Day, and later, a live mariachi band from 6 to 10 p.m. Playa del Carmen, 179 Main Street, Route 131 in Sturbridge.
This is Money Matters Morning Edition. Time now for a look at sports.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Carl Bean. This is the Money Matters Morning Edition brought to you by Howlett Lumber with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton and East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. Red Sox got a nice win, beating the Twins 3-2. Big Poppy, a two-run homer in the fourth off starter and loser Scott Baker. Bill Hall drove in an insurance run in the sixth, but the story was Clay Buchholz going 8-plus strong innings. Minnesota never did figure him out. He was at his best by far.
Oh, yeah, this season, yeah. You know, it seemed every inning I went back out, a pitch came and I got good feel for it and was able to throw it for strikes. You know, I hadn't maybe done that maybe once this year, so it was good to have control, command of four pitches.
Same two teams finish up the quick homestand tonight. In other Red Sox news, shortstop Marco Scutaro has an elbow problem that has required cortisone shots. It's in his left arm. That's the non-throwing arm. So they need a shortstop. So Scott Schoenweiss has been designated for assignment. He's a pitcher. And shortstop Angel Sanchez is up from Pawtucket. By the way, Josh Beckett back on the DL with the back problem. So Tim Wakefield will fill in the next start scheduled for Beckett. Yankees got throttled by the Blue Jays, and the Sellers are getting ready for their Saturday night encounter with the Magic in Boston. This has been the Money Matters Morning Edition brought to you by Howlett Lumber, with two convenient locations, Route 20 in Charlton and East Brimfield Road in Holland. Howlett Lumber is where your friends are. I'm Carl Bean.
Money Matters Morning Edition, weekdays 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Join me, Joe Mangiacardi, and co-host Rich Dingus every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m. North Point Mortgage, 508-347-0010. 508-347-0010.
What kind of bump are you taking to non-owner occupied?
Fairly significant right now, and you're usually having to bring 20, 25% down, and you're seeing interest rates that are going to be 0.5% to as high as 1% higher than the going rates, depending on the scenario, and if it's a multifamily versus a single family.
That's a good bump. I mean, it didn't used to be that significant.
No, it wasn't.
So it's just all because, again, the whole tightening of
higher risk.
The pendulum, the risky factor here.
Yeah, people will walk from their investment before they'll walk from their primary residence.
Sure.
The roof over their heads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
Money Matters, Morning Edition, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., only on the Money Matters Radio Network affiliate, WESO AM 970. Money Matters, Morning Edition, weekdays, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Join me, Joe Mangiacardi, and co-host Johnny Wariby on the fourth Friday of every month from 8 to 9 a.m. RE/MAX Professionals, 508-335-5076. 508-335-5076.
So we shouldn't be as intimidated by a short sale as we were a few months ago.
No, not especially with the new program that they just passed, the HAFA program, where the banks are now required to locate a short to document within at least 30 to 60 days and give you some kind of answer. So the government actually requiring the banks to get those houses off the books and get them sold instead of keeping it on the books and not selling the properties. Some shorts still take up to a year. They don't want that happening.
Yeah.
They just want it done.
Money Matters Morning Edition, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. only on the Money Matters Radio Network affiliate, WESO AM 970.
All right, 49 minutes after the hour, 11 before, 57 degrees outside of our studios. Joe Mangiacardi, AM 970, WESO. Listen live, WESO970.com. Barry Armstrong coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. Chris Finland, midday edition. I'm back behind the microphone, 2 o'clock for Money Matters, afternoon edition. Check everything out, of course, also on MoneyMattersBoston.com. In studio for this portion of Money Matters Morning Edition, we do have Brendan King, Esquire. Studio.
Thanks for putting that on there.
Esquire. Old English term, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, everything comes from England, I guess.
Yeah,
you
know? It's a common law. Most of our common law based from
that. That's right.
We took our cues from.
That's right. You know, I think I like the word lawyer better than barrister, though.
Barrister
is too fancy.
Yeah, really. And you don't want to wear the wig.
No. Although I would appreciate it, you know, having the being follically challenged, you know.
Hey, welcome to the club, man, you know? Yeah, we're going to take some pictures or something, I guess, they're telling me, you know, for web pages and all that. And I'm like, well, I'll do the Outward Joe. I'll have my fedora on for those, you know, we'll wear that because it's kind of the image. We'll keep with it. But
that's right.
You know, this happened at 26, by the way.
Mine came early, too.
I think if you have a full head of hair at 30, you're going to have it.
I think that's kind of the case, yeah. You know, so. I mean, you know, we should form an organization, you know, bald American dudes or something like that. Something
probably,
cool.
Yes.
I'm sure there is.
Google it. There'll something come up. But be careful. When you Google for things, you never know what's going to come up, right?
Right.
You never know, yeah.
Right.
That's all. That's an adventure in itself. All right. The Estate Preservation Law Office is located at 71 Elm Street in Worcester. And Brendan King is there and can be reached at 508-751-5010, 508-751-5010. Easy to remember.
That's right.
Basically, estate planning. We're blowing some of the myths out of the water. You know, we know that the trust is really the place to go, irrevocable, so that you can control it as trustee.
That's right.
But you can't be forced to pull the assets from it, is what it's saying, right?
That's right, and that's why it's protected, is that you can't get it back. As opposed to, you know, a revocable trust, which I think is another myth, is that people think their house is protected because their house might be in a revocable trust or their assets are in a revocable trust. Those are great for avoiding probate. Maybe help us with some tax situations, but won't help us at all if, you know, from a creditor point of view.
Now, sometimes we hear that somebody, well, what did you do? Oh, what we did. We did a living trust or something where they've, how does this work? Where they can stay in the house, but it actually belongs to the kids, but as long as they're alive, they can control it.
Good thought there. I mean, it's very popular. It's called a life estate.
Life
estate and a deed. So basically what ends up happening is the person who owned the home transfers the property, and this works with the primary residence, transfers the property to their children. Say they have three kids, to the three kids, and they reserve a life estate. And what that means is, just as you indicated, Joe, you know, they can stay rent-free for life. No one can kick them out, which is important for clients, is the ability to stay there and know that they can stay there. It can work well in asset protection and Medicaid planning. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ideal.
Does there have to be a bloodline there?
Nope. You can actually do it with anybody. A lot of times it is bloodline, but, you know, I've had situations where someone doesn't have any children, and but they have, you know, somebody who is like a child to them or has been taking care of them for years, a caretaker or just a good friend that they want to leave it to.
So they transferred basically to them on that life estate.
That's
so
right.
They continue as if nothing changed.
That's right.
But upon their death, it's already owned. Really?
That's right. In fact,
so it avoids probate now.
It does. It avoids probate. You know, it works. It works well. It accomplishes a lot of things. I mean, one of the things you have to be aware of is that the children can't. It's true. The children can't sell the house from under you because they would need to have you sign the deed too because you're a part owner. Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't really like about it is that it does put the property in the children's hands' names now, part of it. And if the house is ever sold, the proceeds are actually split. And
so now that becomes if you do that with your son and he's married, it becomes part of the marital assets.
That's
now, right?
That's right.
So now you're running into that situation. So you really have to look at that because we hear these horror stories in Money Matters because we talk about this is what we do.
Yeah.
And many times, you know, whether it's Barry's client or somebody comes along and they've put assets into their son or daughter, and the marriage might be wonderful at the time, but something goes astray. And all of a sudden, they really are in a situation where that in-law, daughter-in-law or son-in-law, is coming after it.
That's right.
And I've heard, and Barry has told us stories of, you know, the having to buy a son or daughter-in-law out of your family house legacy.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's the, you know, the Cape House or the Nantucket House or something that's been a couple generations, and they've wanted that to stay in the family. So I mean, how would they protect that? And say, look, I want this piece of property to be for my bloodline generations down to enjoy.
That's right.
Are we back to that irrevocable trust type of situation?
Irrevocable or revocable, because you could certainly have assets. If you're not so concerned about putting everything in the irrevocable trust, a revocable trust, but eventually the trust will become irrevocable to protect future generations. So this same trust that we're setting up to help our clients avoid probate or protect their own assets can continue after their death and leave assets in trust for children for generations. Mm. So there is a point a trust has to end, but while the asset is in trust, if drafted properly, a probate court judge is not going to be able to get access to those assets. A creditor is not going to be able to get access to those assets. It's the best asset protection device that's on the market. It's what we call a third party asset protection trust.
And you've said this a couple of times, if it's drafted properly, if the language is right. So that would lead me to believe that a trust is not a standard form you print out of your computer.
Absolutely.
Can tailor a trust for what you need to accomplish.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, under the big umbrella of revocable or irrevocable.
That's right. Generally speaking, they have that, it breaks out, but there are many, many types of trust that fall under that.
So you can address the birth of future grandchildren or the events of a divorce. Can you kick in or have certain things kick in if things happen?
Absolutely.
So even beyond your grave here, you can have some control.
Absolutely. And a perfect example of that, and I think we see it a lot these days with the increase in autism diagnoses and people who have children with special needs and the programs that are out there. I mean, a lot of times you may not want to have assets distributed because the assets may need to be held back so a child might keep their government benefits, SSI or Mass Health. So for those reasons, for divorce, for general creditor protection, these trusts work real well because what we're doing is we're allowing the children or grandchildren to become the beneficiaries, but we're not saying that it's their asset. It's almost like the best of both worlds. You know, I can have this benefit, but it's not mine if something happens or if it hits the fan.
You mentioned a very key element, it's a whole nother discussion why autism diagnosis is up. Whole nother show.
Sure.
But the mechanics of having that situation in that if somebody in that's a real concern, that if you're a special needs situation and you are on SSI, Social Security Income, and Mass Health, and you're receiving these benefits, if you have any assets, I think it's $2,000.
Correct. Yeah.
Is the limit. So if you have assets over $2,000, means $2,000 bucks in a savings account, never mind name on a title, yeah, a deed to a property,
oh, yeah,
you're ineligible.
That's right.
And therefore, you lose all of these benefits. Yet, you can structure it so that the benefit of the income or asset can be distributed for those extra things, clothing, trips, vacations, things that the system aren't going to get out of
SSI. That's exactly it. Exactly it. I mean, because those government benefits, as you pointed out, Joe, don't cover everything. So there's a reason why we call them supplemental needs trusts. You know, they fill in mm-hmm. all the things in life. If you think about what SSI is supposed to cover, you know, you've got, food and shelter from SSI, which is what that's supposed to cover. There's a lot more that we spend money on than food and shelter. Yeah. I mean, that's what these trusts are for.
All right. Brendan King, Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, here on a regular basis every couple of weeks.
That's right.
As a regular co-host now. So welcome to the Money Matters Morning
Edition.
Thank
you very much, Joe.
Let's tell people the phone number they can reach you at again.
It's 508-751-5010. 508-751-5010.
And, of course, on the World Wide Web.
www.estatepreservationlaw.com. www.estatepreservationlaw.com.
All right. Thank you, Brendan.
Thanks, Joe.
Great
Appreciate
information.
It. Yeah, thanks
we'll
so much.
We'll get at it next time as well.